Thank you for the introduction. Thank you all for coming, postponing your mid-afternoon naps. So again, my name is Josh Friel, and I'm going to talk about differential salt tolerance of 75 cultivars of turf grass for use on roadsides. So turf grass is and will continue to be an important part of a solution to creating roadsides that are both functional and sustainable. Now, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, which I'll refer to as MnDOT, specifies the use of turf grass at any location where it's necessary to keep desirable views open while maintaining consistency with turf types and care found along bordering land uses. Now, as you can imagine, in a cold weather climate like we have in Minnesota, the salt that we place on the roads each winter presents a significant challenge to growing turf in those locations. So a recent inventory of salt use in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area showed that more than 316 million kilograms of sodium chloride are applied to the road each winter. Now, although MnDOT does currently have a specification for a salt-tolerant mix, it uses outdated cultivars, and several failures, like the one that you can see here, have been documented, indicating that improvement of this mix is necessary. So this table outlines the currently specified mix. As you can see, it's comprised of three separate species, each with its own list of acceptable cultivars. Now, one thing that I'd like to draw your attention to in particular is that at minimum, this mix is 50% Kentucky bluegrass. Now, that's primarily because this mix is usually established as a sod and transplanted to the roadside following completion of a construction project, although improvement of this mix as both a sod and a seeded mix would be ideal. So most salinity tolerance studies use drenches or a hydroponic culture similar to the one that you see here in a greenhouse environment. Where field screening techniques have been used, they've been found to correlate well with those greenhouse evaluations. And those field screening techniques have been able to identify cultivars with improved salt tolerance in mature plants of several different species, including Kentucky bluegrass, perennial ryegrass, and creeping bentgrass. So with this in mind, the objectives of our project were twofold. First, we wanted to evaluate the differences between cultivars for establishment from seed in a roadside environment. And second, to evaluate the differences between those established cultivars for survival following the winter salt loading. So the experiment was designed as a randomized complete block and established at four locations throughout the Twin Cities metro area. Each location had three replications of 75 cultivars split between 14 species. And it's important to keep in mind that these cultivars were chosen based on previously published research as well as breeder recommendations. Today I'm going to focus on two of these locations in particular, the Roseville site and the Albertville site. So the Albertville site was established at the Minn Road Research Facility on Interstate 94. I-94 is a four-lane divided highway with high traffic volume. And at this location, plots were established on a clay loam soil. They were 5 feet wide and 18 feet deep. The Roseville site was established at Roselawn Cemetery on Larpenteur Avenue. Larpenteur Avenue is also a four-lane, but it's a residential street, also with high traffic volume. Plots here were established on an urban land Waukegan complex. Now, this urban land designation, you can think of it being loosely defined as any unconsolidated mineral or organic material found at the Earth's surface that can support plant life. And these types of soils are often found on roadsides, and they contribute to the adverse conditions found there because of their poor soil quality. So this location was actually split into two separate sections. The first, which I'll refer to as the boulevard, is the 3 feet deep strip of land between the street and the sidewalk. The second, which I'll refer to as the main plot, is the area beyond the sidewalk, which was 15 feet deep, and all plots were 5 feet wide. Now, you'll notice here that some of the area might be shaded, but because of the differences, we evaluated only the area within the first few feet of the sidewalk. So plots were established in the fall of 2010. They were tilled and fertilized with a greens-grade starter fertilizer. The plots were then seeded and covered with an expanding fiber mulch. Irrigation was applied where possible with a water truck, And although no subsequent irrigation was applied, a second fertility application was applied 2 weeks after seeding at the same rate. So this table outlines the entries that we used in the trial. Again, remember that these were chosen based on published research and breeder recommendations for cultivars that may already be salt tolerant. And as you can see, these leaned heavily towards the fine fescues, of which we had 23 entries, split between hard, slender creeping red, strong creeping red, sheeps, and chewing fescues. Also note that we included 4 cultivars of alkali grass because of its known salt tolerance, and also 13 cultivars of Kentucky bluegrass because of its inclusion in the current mix as well as its sod forming capability. So data collection began in the fall of 2010 with a visual assessment of establishment. This is rated on a 1 to 9 scale, with 1 to 3 being poor, 4 to 6 fair, and 7 to 9 good. Now keep in mind that this scale differs considerably from what might be used on a well-maintained plot, and that it places more emphasis on function. And this is because, as you can see from this picture, even the most well-established plots on a roadside often establish more sparsely and more slowly than a well-maintained plot might. So data collection continued in the spring of 2011 with a visual assessment of survival, also on a 1 to 9 scale, but this 1 to 9 scale represented the proportion of turfgrass tissue that was present in the fall and remained living in the spring. And in this way, we could separate establishment from survival capability. Plots that didn't establish were by default assigned a 1 for survival. Analysis of variance of these data was carried out in R with mean separation by Fisher's protected LSD. So this image shows the Min Road site in Albertville in the spring of 2011. And what I want to point out here is that we had a wide range of survival abilities. As you can see, some of the plots extend all the way to the shoulder and almost seem completely unaffected, and others are completely dead within several feet of the road. Also at the Roseville site, we saw a wide range of survival capabilities. We had similar appearances between the main plot and the boulevard sections. Again, we had some plots almost completely unaffected, while others were completely dead within several feet of the road or sidewalk. So I'm going to take a minute to set up the following data slides. They're all arranged identically. They all show the top 25 plus statistically similar cultivars for a given response variable at a given location. On the x-axis, you can see the name of the cultivar. On the y-axis, we have the mean rating received by that cultivar for that response variable. You can see in the upper right, we've divided the cultivars into species by color, including perennial ryegrass, tall fescue, fine fescue, alkali grass, creeping bent grass, and tufted hair grass. Note that there are some species that were included in the trial that are not present in this list, and that indicates that they never achieved a top 25 performer status for any response variable at any location. So first we'll look at establishment at the Min Road location. As you can see, this is led by perennial ryegrass and tall fescue, although note that one cultivar of fine fescue did make the list of top performers for establishment at Min Road. Establishment in the boulevard at Roselawn was again led by perennial ryegrass, although here we started to see a more equal balance between the tall fescues and the fine fescue cultivars. One thing that I'd like to point out here is that Navigator Strong Creeping Red Fescue and Shoreline Slender Creeping Red Fescue were the top two performing fine fescue cultivars for establishment at this location. In the main plot section at Roselawn, establishment again led by perennial ryegrass, although here we started to see the balance tip more towards fine fescue cultivars over the tall fescue. Note again that Shoreline Slender Creeping Red Fescue was the top performing cultivar for establishment in this location as well. So now we're going to examine survival at the locations. Three things to note for survival at Min Road. First, alkali grass far outperformed all others in the trial at this location. And all 4 cultivars of alkali grass performed equally well. Second thing to note is that Mariner Creeping Bent Grass entered the list of top performers at this location. And the third thing to note is that Shoreline Slender Creeping Red Fescue was again in the top few performing cultivars for survival at this location. So survival in the boulevard at Roselawn was led by Shoreline Slender Creeping Red Fescue and Navigator Strong Creeping Red Fescue. Also note here that all four cultivars of alkali grass did make the list of top performers for survival in the boulevard at Roselawn. Survival in the main plot at Roselawn, again led by Shoreline Slender Creeping Red Fescue. But interestingly, at this location, we saw several cultivars of perennial ryegrass enter this list of top performers, which we had not seen at any of the other locations. So to summarize these data, establishment at all sites was best for perennial ryegrass, although both fine and tall fescues established well at all locations. Survival at Min Road was best for alkali grass, and all four cultivars of alkali grass performed equally well. Survival at Roselawn was led by Shoreline Slender Creeping Red Fescue in both the main plot and boulevard sections. And entries that performed consistently well across all locations were primarily the fine fescue cultivars, led by Strong Creeping Red Fescue, which had the most cultivars in the list of top performers at every location. So from this, we can conclude that a larger proportion of fine fescues may help improve the current mix of species as both a sod and a seeded mix. And interestingly, despite being 50% of the currently specified mix, no Kentucky bluegrass was in the list of top performers at any location. Although it may still have value for its sod-forming capability, we did note that Mariner Creeping Bentgrass performed well for survival at Min Road, indicating that it may be a suitable replacement for Kentucky bluegrass in a sod mix. And because we saw site-dependent performance, as well as promising results from several different species, a well-chosen mix may be best suited for roadside establishment. So this well-chosen mix would need to be optimized based on several response characteristics, including drought tolerance, as well as sod-forming capability. Some of these mixes are currently being tested on roadsides for establishment from seed, although further data collection on their survival ability when established as sod will be necessary in the future. I'd like to thank the Minnesota Local Road Research Board for funding the project in conjunction with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, all of our seed suppliers for this project, as well as all past and present members of the Minnesota Turfgrass Research Group. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Yes. So we did collect soil samples in the fall of 2010 when the plots were established, primarily to see what sort of salt levels were already in the soils. Soils at both of the locations were well below what we would consider to be a saline soil, primarily because it was in the fall and most of the salts had been leached out by that point. In further studies, when we start evaluating the survival from sod, we'd like to start looking at what sort of fluctuations do we see in the saline environment. Although some of that work has previously been done in Minnesota, so we do know what sort of range you might expect for roadside soils. Yeah?
Did you differentiate, you mentioned several times, you know, when turf was dead within a couple of feet of the shoulder and things like that, did you differentiate between what would have been killed by salt versus what may have been gouged by plow or shovel?
Yeah.
I know you see that a lot in Wisconsin too.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the sites, not in particular the ones that we talked about here, but some of the sites suffered severe mechanical damage, and that's certainly an issue when dealing with roadside plots. In this case, luckily these sites didn't suffer from that sort of damage, which may be just in a function of their location. So the damage that we did see, we assumed to be primarily from the salt loading. At the time of seeding, most of these sites, the soil extract was around 1 to 3 decisiemens per meter. Yeah?
Is the salt used in Minnesota similar to that used in other states?
That's a good question. Our Department of Transportation uses almost exclusively sodium chloride. A lot of that is site-dependent, so sidewalks, you may see something different than roadways. And oftentimes, residential streets may be different than state highways, for instance. Other states may have their own specification for certain types of salt being used in a certain situation. Yes. We got time?
Okay.
No, and in fact, so that's part of this next round of studies will be a two-year project to evaluate these mixes for summer survival. Anecdotally, we had one site that we did not need to replace, and at that location, the alkali grass did not survive well during the summer, which is going to be an issue if we want to include it in a mix.
Yeah, in Rhode Island, we've found that summer survival is the bigger challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.